The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And we're stepping into our conversation with Dr. Alina Williams as we discuss mental health as it pertains to mummies. So for those who are on that journey, this show is for you. Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM, Dr. Alina Williams. And how are you this morning?
Hi, good morning. Good morning, TNT, and good morning to you, Tuska. I'm fine, thank you.
Great. So what exactly do we mean by maternal mental health?
Okay, so when we talk about maternal mental health, we're referring to the emotional and psychological well-being of women during pregnancy and in the year after childbirth. So we refer to this period as the perinatal period. And it's one that is marked by tremendous changes physically and emotionally. So sometimes women can develop what is known as a perinatal mood and anxiety disorder. We abbreviate it to PMADS. And these could include perinatal depression, perinatal anxiety, obsessive compulsive disorder, PTSD, especially if it's followed by a traumatic birth, and in rare cases, postpartum psychosis.
Mm-hmm. And from there, how common are mental health challenges among mothers?
So actually, maternal mental health challenges are far, far more common than many people realize. Globally, we know that 1 in 5 women will experience a mental health condition during pregnancy or in the postpartum period. And in low and middle income countries, that number could be as high as 1 in 3, right? Mm-hmm. What's even more alarming is that perinatal mood and anxiety disorders are actually the leading cause of maternal morbidity and mortality. So what this means is that more mothers are impacted by mental health conditions than by physical complications like hemorrhage, hypertension, or infection during that perinatal period. And given that PMADS are the number one complication of pregnancy, it means that while we've made significant strides in addressing the physical risk associated with childbirth, we have to do more when it relates to the emotional and psychological toll that it takes, especially because it can be life-threatening to the mom.
And how do the baby blues differ from postpartum depression?
So this is a great question because I think that, you know, so many people assume what they're experiencing is the baby blues, and PMADS tend to go untreated and unrecognized because of that. So the baby blues are primarily caused by the significant and sudden drop in hormones after childbirth, especially estrogen and progesterone. And when you tie that in with physical exhaustion and sleep deprivation, what moms experience right after childbirth and up to about 2 weeks after giving birth is what we term baby blues. And the symptoms could include mood swings, tearfulness, irritability, or even anxiety. One thing that we know, though, is that it doesn't tend to usually affect the maternal bonding process or the infant attachment. And it usually resolves within that 2-week period without any medical intervention, which is different from postpartum depression that has more severe and intense symptoms. And it usually doesn't resolve unless it is treated by a professional or steps are taken to actively manage it.
Well, I'm learning something new today because I just assumed baby blues was just another term for postpartum depression. You know, it was like social acceptable term for postpartum depression.
Correct. And the thing is, up to 80% of new moms will experience baby blues. So if a mom has baby blues, it's completely normal. That is expected given the significant level of hormonal drop that is experienced. Mm-hmm. However, if it persists beyond the 2 weeks, you find that the symptoms are really severe. It's impacting your ability to bond with the child, to regulate the child's emotion, then, you know, at that point, you have to really consider that it may be more than just baby blues.
So this is where we're stepping into the differences between baby blues and postpartum depression. In what symptoms or similarities in the two and the definite differences?
So there are quite a number of similarities in terms of the symptoms. It tends to be the same. What I will say is, one, you look at duration. So if it goes beyond the 2 weeks period that is expected for baby blues, then we know that we perhaps stepping into the postpartum depression phase. If it's very intense, so we're looking at how much distress it causes the new mom. Baby blues tends to be upsetting, but not particularly distressful. And then we want to look at dysfunction. Baby blues exist, but most moms, as I said, they're able to bond with their child. They're able to meet their child or their baby's needs. They're able to still do their regular activities. But with postpartum depression, there's a significant decline in functioning. There's withdrawal from loved ones or relatives, major changes in appetite and sleep that is not related to the postpartum period. There's significant guilt that is unwarranted. There may be suicidal ideations or plans, or even plans to harm the baby. And you may find that this person is unable to derive any interest, any pleasure, any joy from doing things that they once enjoyed.
What causes maternal mental health challenges?
We usually reject the idea that there's a single cause. And let me say now that any woman could experience a PMAD. This is regardless of your social standing, your level of support, whether the baby was wanted or unwanted, planned or unplanned. We as women are all at risk, right? So we look at risk factors, and we know that a major risk factor is if a woman had a previous history of mental illness. So if before getting pregnant, you were already experiencing a mental illness, whether you personally or there's a significant family history of mental illness, we consider that a risk factor. We want to look at the lack of social support too. So does the mom have support from partners, family, friends? We look at the high level of stress in the mom's life outside of the birth of the baby. So is there financial strain? Is there job loss, housing instability? Mm-hmm. Is the relationship a stable one, or is there conflict? From a biological perspective, we have to look at things like sleep deprivation. That's one of the number one biological risk factors for new moms where perinatal mood and anxiety disorders are concerned. If they have medical conditions like thyroid disorders, diabetes, if there were complications during pregnancy and childbirth, and then even how their relationship with the healthcare professional was, which is something we don't pay attention to a lot in the public system as much as in the private healthcare system, as well as, you know, were there previous losses in pregnancy? Was there a NICU experience for the mom? You know, did she spend the first 3 months in a NICU department with her child, wondering what the outcome would be? So we look at different biopsychosocial risk factors, and then we try to see what protective factors are in place for the mom. And there are several protective factors, but the two that I would say are quite important would be social support from your partner or your family or your relatives, and tangible support, not just people WhatsApping you saying, hey, I hope you're okay, and sending you really nice memes, but actually going over, providing food, sweep up for her, you know, fold up her clothes, things like that. And then sleep. Moms really should get at least 4 hours of consecutive sleep per night. So even if she's breastfeeding, she can pump and allow her partner to do at least one nighttime feed. And those are the things that really protect the mental well-being of moms.
All right, we'll talk about these specific signs right after this break. We'll be right back.
Tune in to Betterments with Host Space Monday through Thursday, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. for a program that
that educates
and is solution-based.
BASE tackles the issues that matter to you,
providing a platform to speak your mind and find solutions.
That's Betterment with BASE.
With a focus on education and resolution,
this is all about making things better for you.
You
can reach us via phone and WhatsApp to share your thoughts
and find solutions
to the issues that matter to you.
So if you want to make a difference
and have your voice heard,
tune into Freedom 106.5 FM
and join us for Betterment with BASE
Monday through Thursday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m.
Better for you.
Only on Freedom 106.5 FM, where we believe that your voice matters.
It's Extra Foods 90 for 20 arrival of specials. Turbo Plus drink mix, 7 packs for $20. Kiss Wholesome Danish, 5 packs for $20. Coca-Cola, 5 for $20. Swiss Pasta Cuts, 4 packs for $20. Rosemont Chicken Vienna Sausages, 4 cans for $20. Marigold Margarine, 3 for $20. Mitabel Hash Browns, 10 pack for $20. Caribbean Flavors Coconut Milk Powder, 5 packs for $20. And so much more. Plus, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok for even more specials. Extra Foods, always extra for less.
This is The Human Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind.
Roof Mechanics and Company Limited can supply all your roofing needs, from fabricating to metal decking, custom length sheeting, aluminium guttering, soffits, I hope I pronounced that correctly, and flashings. Roof Mechanics and Company Limited has it all. Visit them at their two locations, Debe and Canupia, or online at roofmechanicstt.com. 11:23 exactly in the nation's capital. Got approximately half an hour to your news update at the top of the hour. And in studio via Zoom, we've got Dr. Alina Williams, and we're talking about, you know, maternal mental health. So we touched on what it exactly meant, the how common it is, what's the difference between baby blues and postpartum depression, and what are the causes of maternal mental health. So right now we're stepping into the specific signs that a woman might be struggling beyond the typical baby blues. So Dr. Alina, what are the signs?
So I would like to touch on three of the most common ones we see here in Trinidad and Tobago. The first would be postpartum depression. But let me just say, even though I'm saying postpartum, any mental health condition as it relates to maternal mental health can start from the moment you conceive. So we're really talking about that period of from conception to 1 year after childbirth, right? And it can really go beyond 1 year too.
Mm-hmm.
So with postpartum depression, we look for persistent sad or low mood. If the person has loss of interest in activities they once enjoyed, feelings of hopelessness or worthlessness is usually something that we see a lot. And that tends to tie or go hand in hand with suicidal thoughts or even thoughts of harming yourself or your baby. Excessive crying is also something that is common in postpartum depression. Lack of energy and fatigue, which is unrelated to the postpartum period. Changes in appetite, and then of course difficulty bonding with the baby. That's a very key one, because even with baby blues, we find that moms are still able to bond during that time. So if you're noticing difficulty bonding, it signals that it could be more. Then we have postpartum anxiety. And so for some moms, they don't feel the sadness, they don't feel the low energy, but they are constantly worrying about something. So these are mothers that have or are preoccupied with thoughts that something bad will happen to them or their baby. They have racing thoughts that they can't seem to quiet or control. They may have physical symptoms like nausea, dizziness, rapid heartbeat. It could feel sometimes like they're having a panic attack or what, you know, something that feels like having a heart attack. They may have difficulty sleeping, even when the baby is sleeping and even when they are at their maximum level of fatigue, increased muscle tension, and of course, feeling on edge. So they may be very snappy and very irritable. And then one of the conditions that is much more rare, but it represents an emergency. So it's a psychiatric emergency that requires immediate intervention if it does happen, is if a mom following the postpartum period starts to experience things like hallucinations, so seeing or hearing things that are not there, delusions, believing things that are not true. For example, a delusion might be that their child is dirty, so the mom is cleaning the child incessantly, even using harsh chemical products. Severe confusion or disorientation, rapid mood swings, and then, of course, thoughts of harming self or the baby. Mm-hmm. So these are some of the things you want to look out for as being more than just baby blues.
I mean, I'm hearing, on a side note, I'm hearing, you know, the signs and symptoms, and then I think of how it's depicted on television and how it's depicted in these medical dramas. It's pretty yes. close, but at the same time, you know, it just feels really weird. It you know, to yes. acknowledge it first. And I think having shows like these gives us a more reality tinge to some of these things. And I guess the inspiration right. for those shows comes from everyday life. How mm-hmm. does maternal mental health affect the baby and the family unit?
Okay, so it's very important to note that a mother's health impacts not just her, but the entire family, even up to generations. And I say this because when a mom is struggling emotionally, it really disrupts the bonding process with the baby. And the bonding process is foundational for the child's development. Physical, cognitive, language, all those developments really depend on the bond with the mom and the child. So it means that if a mother is not present emotionally or mentally, she's not there to teach the baby that the baby is safe. She's not there to soothe the baby or to connect with the baby through responsive care. And this could lead to attachment difficulties, which we see later manifested as behavioral challenges, delays in language development, and even emotional dysregulation. And then, of course, we have to consider the strain that other people in the family may feel as well by the mom's emotional or mental absence. So other children that may be in the house would feel the strain. Partners often report feeling confused or helpless because they don't understand the emotional distance and the increased tension taking place in the household. And there's a significant dynamic shift that takes place where the household becomes emotionally unstable. So maternal mental health is not just a personal issue. In fact, it's a public health issue because supporting moms mean that we allow our children to grow in a more stable and healthy environment, and that presents with more resilient families later on.
And is there a stigma around this topic?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, so many, because we don't talk about it openly. Let me tell you, you know, when you go on Instagram and you see these pictures with moms and their newborn, they're happy and the baby's sleeping and
quiet.
And
in perfect pastel colors.
Cute. I know, right? Everything looks organized. The house looks neat. The mom is, you know, well done. And, you know, you go through your experience and it's like, what is this tornado that has hit me? Mm-hmm. It is very disorienting. So when a mom is struggling with these symptoms, they become so confused because it's depicted as one of the most joyful period in a woman's life. And in fact, as I said, whether you planned or wanted the pregnancy or not, you still, any woman is at risk. So for some women, it's so disorienting and confusing, like, you know, I wanted this. This is what I've always wanted. Why am I not feeling attached to my baby? Why am I not responding when my baby cries? Why am I angry when my baby cries? So unfortunately, there's so much fear and shame and stigma. Women are afraid of being judged. And because we don't talk about it openly, a lot of women don't speak out about it when they go for their 6-week visit, when they go to their district health visit office. They don't share that they're experiencing mental or emotional struggles. Mm-hmm. It's easier to talk about physical pain and say, you know, my stomach is hurting, this is hurting. It's much harder to say, sometimes I don't feel to be around my baby, or sometimes my baby cries and I go in another room. Like, it's difficult mm-hmm. to verbalize that. But that is what needs to be said. to get the kind of help that you need. And the fact that it's so common, 1 in 3, 1 in 5, means that you are not alone.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking in context of one baby. Think about mummies who have multiple births.
Correct.
I panic
correct.
When I
and
see
so that's,
twins, yes. quadruplets. How y'all do it?
Yes, single moms, you know. Because as I said, a protective factor is getting 4 hours of consecutive sleep. If you're a single mom and you don't have that support, you don't have the ability to get those many hours of sleep, that sleep deprivation in itself can trigger a perinatal mood or anxiety disorder.
Mm-hmm. What kind of support is available for mothers who are struggling?
So support could really come from different healthcare professionals. What I would say, in Trinidad and Tobago, one of your first source of support should be when you visit your OBGYN at the clinic. You explain to him or her what you're experiencing. Your district health visitor as well can guide you to different resources available in the country. So these district health visitors usually come to check up on both mom and baby. And even if they don't physically come to your home, they usually call at some point to find out if you're sleeping, if you're eating, if you have support, etc. And then there's so many mental health clinics throughout Trinidad and Tobago. So even if you're not getting that referral from your OBGYN, you walk into any one of those clinics and talk to a social worker or the intake officer, explain what you're experiencing, and they would be able to refer you appropriately. Sometimes you need therapy, sometimes you just need peer support, and at other times, depending on what you're experiencing, you may need medication.
What can partners, families, or friends do to support a new mom?
So this is so important. The first thing to do is to really listen without judgment. And, you know, many times when a new mom is talking, as a person that is a mom, you may feel obligated to give advice. And sometimes it's best that you just be quiet and allow this mom to share what she's experiencing without interjecting, because we don't truly know each person's situation, right? So I remember, like, for me, postpartum, everyone was like, oh, sleep when the baby sleep. That didn't work for me, because then when baby slept and I slept, I woke up and I saw how many things there were left to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to listen without judgment, offer practical help. That is key. You know, as I said, it's more than just sending text messages on WhatsApp or commenting on Facebook, hey, miss you. Actually come over and ask, you know, what can I do to help you right now in this moment? Or I'm coming for an hour. Should I wash up the wares? Or if you're a close friend, just do, you know, go to the person's house and just pick up the broom, start sweeping, start mopping. Those little things make a difference.
And
you want to encourage rest.
Yeah.
Sure, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, if you're really truly friends, that would be a thing you would do. You would just pick up the broom and start cleaning, you know? Dr. Alina, are you there? All right, we seem to have a little connection issue, but...
Recording in progress.
Dr. Alina, are you back?
The audio just went, sorry.
Okay, so you're hearing me now?
Yes, I'm hearing you now.
Okay, so now I was just saying, you know, you really had to be truly friends. If it is, you could go to your friend's house and just start sweeping and doing the laundry. Because for me, I was like, why are you touching that? Leave that alone. Difference, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all right. And you know, and so that's why it's really important to know the people that you, and you know, sometimes too, you could ask, what kind of support do you need?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it may just be that this person needs help with picking up some stuff for the grocery because they may not be able to get it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it may just be you asking, you know, how could I support you in the next few days?
Mm-hmm.
Validate their feelings, encourage rest, and then just pay attention to anything that you may be missing. And of course, if you think that something is wrong, gently encourage them to seek professional help. As I said, it's the number one complication of pregnancy. It's nothing to be ashamed about.
All right. So I'm quickly looking at 306-1065 for any questions on the topic. One person is saying, long ago, people never had all these things. You had family support, but these new moms don't want help or advice from family members. Another one says, okay. All right, so that is the same, along the same lines, basically. So they are saying that, you know, long time people didn't have that. So what is the difference between long time and now?
So long time, I think we had the concept of the village, and the village played an integral role in helping to mitigate some of the risk factors I spoke about, one being sleep deprivation and then practical support. But I would say that, you know, over time, society has ingrained in us that we need to be very independent. There are more women working outside of the home. So there has been a cultural shift. There are so many people that are absorbed in their own lives and their own experiences and their own difficulties. You know, all of us have hardships. So I think the concept of the village is no longer what it used to be. And that's why we may be seeing so many presentations of mental health condition. The family structure has changed significantly as well. So we've moved away from seeing more two-parent households. And of course, that can impact moms. Moms are required to go back out to work after 3 months so that they could support their children. And those things were just not common practice in times before.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a shift in many of the socio-cultural factors that have led to this.
Well, you brought up a very interesting point, the idea of maternal leave. You know, I know you may not want to go into it, but would you recommend a longer time period for mothers to stay at home?
For sure, for sure. And I think and I hope that one day it's something that the government would examine in great detail and make some recommendations for a longer period of time. You know, the World Health Organization says that we should breastfeed for 6 months, but yet our maternal leave is 3 months. You know, if you, and not even the full 3 months sometimes, because you may have to go on leave before you give birth, depending on if you have complications or not. And then paternal leave, which is not even really something that is concrete in Trinidad and Tobago.
I don't think it exists.
It doesn't exist formally. It's based on the discretion of your employer, but it's 3 to 4 days leave. You know, if a woman has had a significant complication in childbirth, if she's had a C-section, if she has other children in the home, then allowing a father 4 days at your discretion to be there to help the mom is also not good enough. You know, what some countries do is that they give 18 months leave, but it's shared between mom and dad. So I remember I was pregnant at the same time my friend in Canada was pregnant, and she told me she was on 18 months maternity leave, but she could split it with her partner 9-9. She could take 12 months and the partner take 6 months, whatever it was, they had the ability to use it that way. And I'm not saying that we need to have that time, but at least based on the World Health Organization, we should have 6 months to be able to fully meet breastfeeding needs for those that choose to breastfeed.
And a stronger bonding time period as well.
Definitely, because, you know, that separation is very traumatic. When you go back out to work, sometimes you have to leave your child with a stranger again because grandparents are working as well, you know. It's not like before where people would be home and you leave your child with your grandmother, with the grandmother, the grandfather, whoever. Now you leave the child in daycare and you have to, you know, you really have a good hold on your mental health to be able to do that, because the anxiety that elicits is very strong.
But Dr. Williams, I'd like to thank you so much for taking the time to come to talk to us about a taboo subject, which I hope with discussions like these become less taboo.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you so much.
All right, enjoy the rest of your day.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.